This is the Courtney for Life podcast, simple, real, and relatable audio bits on lifestyle, nutrition, and fitness. Grab a plate of tacos and let's chat. Hey, strong friends. Welcome back to the Courtney for Life podcast. I am joined again by the beautiful Coach Kayla. And today we're talking about ego training and really training with your ego. So we're going to dig right in. This was a conversation that Kayla actually wanted to have. So she's going to be kind of leading most of it, but it is going to be like a back and forth conversation about how we've kind of experienced this in our own training. And then also from a coaching perspective, like how we see this and what happens when it comes up with clients and then kind of like how to navigate through it. So hopefully this is a very beneficial podcast or YouTube video, if that's how you're watching us today. So I'm going to dig right in. So I want to know how Kayla perceives ego lifting, or what does training with your ego mean?
So like, honestly, it's basically when you or someone is like continuously adding weight or increasing the weight more than you necessarily should be. And what that means is like, if your form is breaking down to a point where you're likely not feeling the muscle connection or you're risking injury, there's partial range of motion, you're not going to full lockout or to full extension, in order to impress others or even in order to impress yourself. Something with lifting heavy is it's that instant gratification. You instantly feel good. And this is like from my personal experience too, like it's fun to want to lift heavier and to always go heavier. So that's kind of my perception of what ego lifting is or training with your ego means.
I love all of that. And I can like feel that entirely. I want to share like kind of my experience with ego training, because I can really relate to this because I have done the powerlifting training and then I went from powerlifting to bodybuilding. And I call this like my powerlifting ego, which is ultimately, yeah, like it's ego training. And you can go really heavy. Like you can train with powerlifting or one rep max, or even like a 3 or a 5 rep max, but that doesn't mean you're actually like connecting with your muscles. It doesn't mean you can feel them. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you're encouraging hypertrophy. Now, this is a conversation for another day, but yes, they're like, ultimately, if you are strength training or doing like 1 rep maxes, ultimately your muscles are going to grow. But if we are doing bodybuilding, and this isn't necessarily competitive bodybuilding, this is if you are building your body, if you are going into the gym and you are trying to change how your body like looks and performs, ultimately, like, you want to be hitting hypertrophy. You want to have that good mind muscle connection. And when I was training powerlifting, I almost never felt it. Like I did, this was earlier in the year, I did like a 1 rep max hip thrust and it was over like well over 500 pounds, which is hella awesome. Did I feel my glutes? No, because it's almost like your adrenaline kicks in, or it's like your brain is doing the work, but your muscles aren't doing the work. And if you are training bodybuilding, or if you are trying to build your body, which is like, it's again, not competitive, but like 90% of people that go into the gym that are trying to make changes, physical, visible changes to their body, training with your ego is going to commonly happen, but we don't want it to, because you're not able to feel the intended muscle. And when you can't connect with the muscle, you don't really get or connect why you're doing it. And it's not going to get the job done. It's not going to take you very far. So it's a common flaw that I see in strength training, because just because you can lift heavy doesn't necessarily mean that you can feel your muscles working. And it's not necessarily a bad thing, but we need to understand the difference. What I usually do, I'm almost done on this tangent. What I usually do in my training is I will progress really hard for like 4 to 6 weeks. And then that's when I usually realize that like my ego is kind of kicking in and I'm like, okay, I need to scale back. Because especially like if we're starting with a new training program or we're progressing with a certain goal in mind, we want to go heavier every week. Physiologically, that's not possible. Otherwise we would all be deadlifting 300 pounds. And that's just not a thing, right? Like we can't do that. We don't need to do it, but we can't progress every single week. Otherwise, we're just kind of like bullshitting ourselves. So every like few weeks, it's kind of like progress, progress, progress. And then sometimes people call it a deload or whatever, but you want to like regress a little bit and be like, okay, like let's pump the brakes for a little bit and make sure that we're actually getting that mind muscle connection. So what would, I think we've like kind of unpacked this a little bit, but what would like an ego in the gym look like so that the listeners or viewers can kind of understand maybe this is where they're seeing it on themselves.
So if you're like consistently always looking to improve in the weight area, that can definitely be a sign that you're ego lifting in the gym. If you're always looking to like grab heavier weight or to increase weight in some aspect, if you're poor form and control, like you're not using any sort of tempo, if you're using basically all momentum, some momentum is okay. Momentum is not a bad thing, but you want to ensure that your form and your control and your mind muscle connection is also there, especially if you're looking for hypertrophy, like if you're looking to grow your muscles. You need to ensure that you have that control, you're feeling the muscle, you're not just using all momentum. Even if you're noticing, like if you're doing a deadlift and your back is starting to round a lot, like more than it would if you were doing like a lower weight, then that's like, okay, I maybe need to scale this back a little bit. I need to come down on weight. And this is where like form check videos or videoing yourself in the gym can be super, super handy because like you don't always feel when this is happening. And this is why I do it with myself. Like I'll video myself and then I'll watch the video back and I'm like, oh, I can do better than that.
And that's something that we really encourage with our clients. And I don't know if you've seen this, but I've noticed this with some of my clients where they'll kind of like do our work for us where they'll be like, oh, I was like recording my first set and I noticed that I kind of had shitty form, so I redid it. And then they'll send us like the better form check, which is always great. And that, like, frig, there is so much power in being able, I understand that like recording yourself in the gym is sometimes really annoying, sometimes really inconvenient, uncomfortable, but there's so much power. It's extra data, right? It's so exactly. Good. Go ahead. Keep going. I think
Partial range of motion is another thing. Like this, I see a lot in the gym because it looks good to want to lift heavier. It's that instant gratification, not only for yourself, but you get to show others that, hey, look at me, I can lift this much weight. But it's not all about that. And I've had this issue, especially in the past. Like I was looking through some videos and there's like this one video of me squatting like 195. And you know, because you've seen my squat, this was like a flipping like quarter rep squat. Like it's embarrassing, but I just knew that was my ego coming into place like way too much. Besides the fact, I just wanted to share that.
I love that. Like,
lifting heavy in the gym is like always good. And we don't want to like discredit that, but there's a time and a place for like knowing when you know what I mean?
Like, yeah. I think it's really important to understand what your goal is. If the goal is a powerlifting competition, then fuck yeah, like bring on the ego. Like, let's get it in there. Let's try and like hit a heavy max. Like, yeah, let's do it. But again, like that's not a lot of people. It's not a lot of our listeners. It's not a lot of our clients. None of our clients right now are powerlifting. And for most people, a one rep max doesn't do anything for somebody's life. So being understand of like what your goal is, maybe you have at the end of this training phase that like we have for our clients, because I do that, I'm sure you do this, where it's like, okay, at the end of this phase, we're going to hit that number, but then we're either going to have accessory work that doesn't have ego training in it. And we're really going to focus on like tempo and slowing things down and getting that muscle connection. Or in the next training phase, we're going to shift gears a little bit. So it's kind of like that ebb and flow. So really understanding when it is necessary to maybe implement like your ego.
Absolutely.
So we know why this happens, which is, yeah. And maybe like some listeners and viewers like don't really want to admit it. They can be like, no, like I can do it. And this is where having like maybe a coach would come into play and being like, okay, let's pull things back a little bit. So what happens when the ego enters the room? What happens when you accidentally put it in your gym bag and it's in your water bottle and it's with you? What happens?
So honestly, and like, this is a big thing that I came out of it. Like, your ego can really stop you from learning and improving. And this is something that I've noticed with myself when I decided, when I think when I started with you, we like regressed a little bit with a few movements and we started focusing so much more on improving my form, my technique, and learning the proper movement patterns for that movement, yeah, rather than just going heavier, heavier, heavier all the time and not looking at that form. You lose focus of the mind-muscle connection. You, like we talked about before with your, when you did your one rep max contest, like you said that when you did that hip thrust of 500 pounds, you didn't feel your glutes. That's like you lose focus of that mind-muscle connection because you just are looking at improving strength.
Yeah.
For some people, you have a higher chance of injury when that ego enters the room because you're doing too much weight. You're not focusing enough on your technique. And then form starts to break down, as in like partial range of motion, less control, those types of things. So yeah, like those are, you could honestly be leaving gains on the table by always focus, allowing your ego into the gym.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. I feel like it's, as we talk about it a little bit more, it's almost like this imposter syndrome. You can like, right. You can totally relate to that and you can understand where it's like you're, I don't even know how that like analogy would work, but it's like, you're trying to overcome this imposter syndrome by letting your ego take over and being like, oh, well, I'm not good enough. I'm not strong enough in the gym. Well, fuck it. I'm just going to bring my ego in and I'm going to be super strong. And I know one of your points is like that shiny object syndrome. Like you sacrifice long-term gains for short-term gratification. And this is something that we really focus on with our clients. We're like, okay, let's follow the program, because I'm sure you've had this as well, where clients kind of get really excited. They're like, I just wanted to see how heavy I could go. And like, that's cool. Like, I totally encourage that. If a woman wants to push herself and try and do something heavier than she's never done before, especially when it comes to like a big compound lift, like, oh my God, if a woman wants to try and do like a heavy bench press, I am friggin' all for that. I have like goosebumps just saying, yes, that. I love it so much. But I have that understanding. And yes, that short-term gratification, like, fuck, we all need that short-term gratification. We are like, if somebody says, I don't care about the short-term gratification, you're fucking liars. Like, this is part of like our physiological makeup. We need that in order to keep going for that long-term. But having an understanding of all of this, of why we would benefit from ego training and the many reasons why we would not benefit from it, just understanding what your ego in the gym looks like, because it's going to look different from everybody as well. So putting it aside, so understanding what happens when it comes in, kind of like taking a step back, so how and why would we, well, we know why we would put it aside, but what are some implements that are like protocols that we would usually do as coaches or even just smart training clients, to make sure that we put it aside?
Like incorporating more like tempo type movements. So ensuring that we are doing maybe some pauses, some tempos, like some 2-1, 2-1 tempos. Looking also to just use like a little bit of a higher reps, because with higher reps, you're not going to be able to go as heavy. So that's kind of like, okay, let's take the ego out of this situation. We're doing 15 to 20 reps of this movement. Let's take the ego out of this and really just focus on these reps and getting like quality reps for these movements.
15 reps will shut down your ego pretty quickly.
Absolutely. You're like, oh shit, that I can't do this amount of weight for 15 reps. but training through a full range of motion as well, and really like focusing on that full range of motion and ensuring that you're hitting full extension, full lockout, those types of things, and having good form and technique, and just like be patient with yourself. It's okay to not be lifting super, super heavy all the time and to be able to scale back and focus on other things within your training. This is what's going to advance you as a trainee. This is what's going to make you a better trainer in all of it, like honestly. And then
go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I just want to add in, you're talking about like mastering like full range of motion and tempo. One of my clients, I just gave her a dumbbell goblet squat with a 5 5-1-2-1 tempo. And I've done kinds before where I'm going to, and I've challenged them. This is the, like the ultimate squat test. If you can do a 10 second tempo on the way down, you can train. You'll get the full range of motion. You won't have your ego. You'll understand better form, and you will very likely have a higher chance of connecting to better mind muscle connection.
Yeah.
It sucks. And my client literally wrote like, "I hate you" in her program. And I'm like, I'm not doing this to be a shithead. I'm doing this to help you because we have these goals.
Yeah.
So, okay, keep going.
So like another thing, like get a coach's feedback. Like that can be, or someone who you look up to, that is huge. And I say this to my clients all the time, just because I'm not asking for a specific, and I know you do this too, because this is where I learned it. But if you don't have, if I'm not asking for a specific form check video and you just want reassurance in that movement, ask, just send it.
Oh my God, send it
to me.
I love that. I have some clients where I'm just like, send me everything, send me every single thing. And let's just build your confidence that you know that you're doing everything properly, more than just what I ask of you. One of my favorite ways to better understand mind muscle connection is to watch movement videos on YouTube. I've sent some of these to clients before. I think it's called like Muscle in Motion is one of the best ones. And if like I'm going into the gym, and I think one of the hardest muscle groups to connect with is your back, because you can yank things so easily. You can do things wrong so easily. You can get back injuries so easily. But it's really hard to see your muscles working because you can't see behind you, right? So I will go in, and if I'm doing like a back day before, when I'm having like my pre-workout or whatever, I will watch these movement videos, and I can see like, and you don't need to know anatomy in order to like understand this. But if you can see like how your muscle fibers work and how your muscles like move and shape as you're going through a range of motion, if you can take that with you into the gym, and as you're doing a lat pull down, you're like, okay, I know that things are moving. That's one of the best ways for you to get better mind muscle connection. And I think it's almost one of the easiest things, because like it's on our phones. It's literally available for us anywhere.
Absolutely. And talking about back training, like I find that my mind muscle connection with my lats, like that is a tough one for me to really master. And that is one specific area on my body that I find I really have to focus on connecting with in order to get it.
Yeah. So. But I love it. It's almost like so empowering. I love that.
It is. I do too.
So when would ego training be a good thing? We've kind of talked about it a little bit more, but let's just like list a few quick, clear points.
When training for like a one rep max or like a strength training competition or something like strongman powerlifting, but in a safe and controlled environment, that means like in a gym where you have someone watching you, you're keeping good form and range of motion. It doesn't have to be perfect to a T form, but you're getting full range of motion and your form is there for the most part. Yeah. A little bit of breakdown is okay, but like it needs to be there for the most part.
Understanding why and when it happens and having a good coach. I think almost any powerlifter or strongman competitor will have a coach, and they have that understanding of when to use their ego and when that balance comes in.
Absolutely. Even when ego lifting, like I do think it's important to still use a full range of motion as like, even as an advanced training, like I don't necessarily think that a beginner trainee needs to be doing like one rep maxes or like looking to like max out everything. I really don't think a beginner needs to be doing that. But once you become a little bit more advanced in your training, like ego lifting can help improve confidence with individuals, with clients, with myself. Like it does, it can help improve that confidence in being able to lift a little bit heavier. Again, in like a good environment
and
safe manner.
I think like you and I can relate to this when we're doing like our competitions, when we're doing like our physique competitions, and we're not trying to do one rep maxes when we're doing bikini training, but we're also not training with like 5-pound dumbbells. We still want to be pushing ourselves. And when the calories start to get cut, as we get closer to our show, we need to kind of like, I think sometimes, and you can probably agree that like bringing your ego to the gym when you're fucking tired and you're like, I am hungry and I don't want to train. And it could be really easy for you to drop the weights because I'm in a caloric deficit, so I don't have that strength. Like, just shut up and get it done. So yeah, sometimes like it can motivate you. It can allow you to keep showing up and keep progressing. And like our teammate Morgan always says, she's like, find the diamond in your training when you're having like a shitty day or like you can't push through. Like maybe your ego is that diamond where you're like, I need this ego to help me get through my session. Sometimes that's what it takes.
Yes, I could not agree more with that. Like, I love that, finding the diamond. I love that. It's yeah. So perfect. But like,
go ahead.
Like, having a little bit of an ego isn't a bad thing. And that's something that I think we need to understand too. And just like you said, knowing when and where it's okay in your programming and having that understanding.
Yeah, so much. Yes. Full body. Yes. So when do you, or like each of us, when do we as coaches notice our clients using their ego? And this is usually unintentionally, but where are like the call out points? I'll let you go first.
So I can tell, like, and I talked a little bit about this on my story yesterday too, but like, you can tell in a client's check-in when they're starting to feel like discouraged, and they're like, I haven't increased weight in this movement in so long. And it's like, it's not all about increasing weight. That's where I know, like, I need to have a conversation with them and like stop that ego from getting in the way, because all of a sudden the next week they might try and like move up 20 pounds or something. It's like, whoa.
Like, wait, you didn't earn that right to add the weight to the bar. You can't do that.
Exactly. And like, just feeling like it's the only way they're progressing is by adding more weight. Like, you can see in a client's check-in when this is happening, and you can see when they're getting discouraged. And just by reviewing their training spreadsheet, like, if the weight is going up exponentially every single week, like, it's almost like, okay, either you're not pushing yourself hard enough in those first few weeks, or we're starting to ego lift a bit more.
Oh my gosh. So I've seen clients where they'll, and they're not wrong for this, but this is like, we have a different perspective on this, right? Where that's why we're coaches, where a client and their RPE or their rate of perceived exertion is 8.5 every week, but you see them literally adding 5 or 10 pounds every week. And you're like, so yeah, you're bullshitting us at the beginning. And this is where like having that understanding of what mind muscle connection is and actually making your reps and sets effective. Or are you just getting tired? Are you bullshitting yourself and telling yourself, oh, I'm tired because the program says 12 reps. So by 10, 11 and 12, I'm tired. But then I push again. So I don't know if you've done this, but sometimes I'll do this. And I feel like I'm giving away my secret, is sometimes in client programs, I'll change their reps and sets and they don't even know. And they'll be like, oh, it was RPE 8.5 with 10 pounds for 8 reps. And now you're doing 15 reps and it's the exact same. And then I call on it and I'm like, okay, so this is what's going on.
I remember you did that to me in the past. And that's how I learned this, because I do this with clients now too. I'll go in and I'll just like randomly like just change things and not tell them. And I remember you doing this to me. And I was like, wait a minute, I didn't think I was doing this many reps last time. And then we talked about it and you're like, yeah, this is what I was doing. And I'm like, oh.
But it's like not a hard lesson to learn, but you learn it and you're like, oh, I can push myself a little bit more. So it's a good thing. We're good coaches, I promise.
Exactly.
I want to wrap this up, and I want each of us to leave a takeaway, just for the listeners, to the viewers, to, because we talked about ego training, the goods and the bads of it, and like how to find this balance, like what's going on with your ego. So I think anyone who says they don't train with their ego is a liar. Eventually it's going to happen. If you have been resistance training, even with a coach, for like more than a year, you're going to have some kind of element of ego training involved, like definitely. And it's more so subconsciously. It's not a bad thing, but it's like a fixed mindset. It's going to happen, but having that awareness and that growth mindset and being able to understand it, see it, know how and when it will come up in your training, because inevitably it's going to happen. Maybe it happens more so with your leg days or when you're doing leg press, where you're like, I know that I'm going to like ego train. So there's a time and a place where it's okay and to be aware of it, be aware of your goals and the reasoning for it. And if you're not sure, ask somebody. If you have a coach, this is what your coach does. Don't feel silly because you're asking them for help and like you have the program, you have the clear guidance, but you're still asking about it for confirmation. Have that understanding so that it makes sense to you.
I could not agree with you more on any of that. I agree 100%. Like training with your ego is okay sometimes when it's done properly with awareness, when you can understand it and when you can call yourself out on it. Like your training experience does matter when it comes to training with your ego, because training with my ego now looks a lot different than what it looked like 6 to 10 years ago. For example, when I was doing that 195 pound squat, and like, I don't do that kind of stuff with training with my ego like that anymore. It's different now. I'm more of aware of it. I understand it and I can tell when I am doing it and when I need to like kind of almost scale back in a sense. You call yourself out on it.
Yeah, I think we can both agree that the bodybuilding aspect and both of us like prepping and competing, and I'm not encouraging this for everybody, but that has shifted my mindset a lot. Even like I've been competing for a few years now, but every time I'm in prep, it's like this whole different approach and this whole different mindset. And I learn something new and different every time. And like really having a better understanding of like mind muscle connection and training with your ego. I feel like there at least a few times like within prep, I'm like, oh shit. And I have like these realization or aha moments. I'm like, oh my God, I didn't even realize I was training with my ego. And now I can feel it differently and things like that. Like there's so many good golden nuggets in this conversation. Thank you, Kayla. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your education and for wanting to have this conversation. I know that this is going to be really helpful for the listeners and viewers. Thank you for hanging out with us today. I hope you enjoyed something and got a good takeaway from all of this conversation. If you do have questions, you know that you can reach out to either of us on many different platforms. And I guess that's it. We'll wrap this up and we'll talk later. Bye, strong friends.
Bye.
Thanks for being here. There are so many ways you can show me your support, like subscribing, take a screenshot and share this on Instagram, or send me a taco donation.